It's Arnold Bjorn with Warm Welcome, a show about passionate people and how hospitality plays a part in what they do. This week, we sit down with Amy, who is the founder of Donna Chai, a company that first started as a chai concentrate company in Brooklyn, New York, and has recently launched a new line of spiced sodas. We talk about her upbringing, early beginnings of the company, the origin behind the name Donna Chai, as well as hospitality and how that's something that she has started to think about as the company evolves from a startup to one that's more systematic.
I'm from Michigan. I grew up in the suburbs of Detroit with a super close-knit family. I'm the oldest of four siblings. And that was it. Pretty basic house in a neighborhood with a driveway, a mother who always cooked, siblings who I always fought with.
Are you the oldest of the four? Or?
I am the oldest. Yeah, and we were a loud, clashing but loving group.
Yeah, and you are all four of you in the similar like age range.
It ranges. My youngest brother is 7 years younger than I am.
Okay.
So
that's still fairly...
Pretty close for four people.
Yeah, definitely a lot of clashing I could imagine. So growing up, like, what were some of your passions or maybe things that you liked doing? And how did that translate into what you studied in school?
Sure. So my hobby growing up was playing tennis.
Cool.
And that was decided by the family.
Okay.
So my siblings and I, we were pretty athletic, would go to tennis from, you know, anywhere from 4 to 7 days a week.
Wow.
And that was basically my post-school life.
Yeah.
Until I got to be about 16, and I realized that I liked my friends and I wanted to be social. So after that, I realized that I didn't want to do tennis, and I did friends in school. Yeah. And I went to college in Michigan.
Cool.
And it was at the end of college when I took a class on food and the environment when I realized that I was interested in food.
Yeah. So it was primarily this one class that really ignited this interest in food and the environment, more or less?
I was always interested in what I was eating.
Right.
So trying new things, going to restaurants, pastries. I always really loved dessert.
Yeah.
I don't know when that started or why, but my mother would stock the freezer with homemade pastries for me growing up.
Yeah.
So that I could always have access to dessert, to homemade dessert. So that was really special. But it was the class in college that I took when I realized that food could be a career.
That's awesome. And then from there, did you go to NYU straight after school in Michigan? Or
I took a year off I took the class at Michigan.
Yeah.
I then immediately did some research on how I could continue my education in food.
Yeah.
Because that one class wasn't enough for me to figure out what I wanted to do. So I found the food studies grad program at NYU. So then after that, I took a year off to build my resume.
Yeah.
So that I could get into the graduate program.
Yeah. And how was that program for you? Was it everything that you could have imagined? And did you enjoy the time there? Or?
So I loved it. I loved it. But so my year off was in Colorado.
Yeah.
And I just packed that year with food things. So I did an internship with a nonprofit farm.
Cool.
That worked with children and taught them about growing food. So it was really amazing. And I worked in a bakery, and I interned with a food manufacturer and things like that. So it was really valuable for me. And then I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And within the first semester of my program, I realized that I was going to start Donna Chai.
Wow. The first semester.
The first semester, yeah.
And how did that realization come to be? What happened during that first semester where that made you know that you wanted to start this?
So I was taking a whole bunch of different classes.
Uh-huh.
I was working in a small specialty market.
Okay.
And I, I'm pretty high pressure. I've always been high stress.
Yeah.
It hasn't really helped me. So far, I'm still waiting. But I kind of panicked. I had moved to New York City. I was investing in grad school.
It's a big move, too, to New York City, you know, from where you grew up, right, I imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that part was so exciting to me. The part that freaked me out was not knowing what I was going to do with my life, which you don't have to know. I was 22 at the time. Like, why did I think I had to know that? So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And it was in that first semester when I was going around to coffee shops, and I realized that everything was locally driven, so locally roasted coffee beans or high-quality coffee beans, milk from a local dairy farm, pastries baked in Brooklyn or down the street, but no one was making chai. So I decided I wanted to start a business,
yeah.
Chai business. I had never made chai before. So I spent maybe 3 months trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything about chai or the history of
sure.
chai or how to make it. Internet recipes don't help with anything. I went back to Michigan to spend some time with my family.
Yeah.
And I was very stressed out. I'm like, I don't know, like, do I use fennel? Do I use ginger? Do I use a combination of things? Like, how am I supposed to know where to begin? And she had just taken a cooking class with a group of her friends taught by an Indian woman in Michigan. So she reached out to this teacher and asked if she would host me for a chai 101 lesson. So she taught me the basics. She taught me about how she prepares chai, about how other people do, about how it doesn't have to be a blend, a complicated blend of spices. It could be as simple as black tea with cardamom and milk and sugar.
Nice.
Or black tea with cinnamon and milk and sugar. It doesn't have to be like start simple and build.
Yeah.
And everyone's chai, it can be different.
Yeah. So you had a chai crash course in Michigan. That's awesome. Okay. So then you had that course and you had a better realization of how to make chai. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like, what was the next step there? Like, you came back to NYU, I'm assuming, right? To go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And what was like the evolution of that, and also maybe the name Donna Chai, like, how did you come with the name as well?
Sure. The name comes from, I still don't really know how to tell people the story, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It was, Donna was taken from a doll named Donna that my mother had when she was a child.
Oh, okay.
So Donna is the name of my mother's vintage doll from the 60s.
Awesome.
But
was there something special about that doll that inspired the name? Or
It was the first thing I was sure about with my entire company. I had the idea and I was like, oh, Donna Chai, that's what I'm going to call it. I dropped an N. It's just D-O-N-A. I wanted it to be balanced with the four-letter chai. And I wanted it to be more abstract.
Mm.
But I liked how it sounded, and I liked that it had some meaning to me.
Yeah.
I naively didn't think that people were going to ask me about why I named it Donna Chai. So the doll is still around. And she lives at my grandmother's house. So she was always there.
Yeah.
Throughout my entire life.
Yeah.
And with my siblings and with my cousins. And it was, yeah, just something we would play with or make fun of. 'Cause she looks like a vintage doll. Yeah. So that's why, Donna, I should talk to someone in PR to get some advice. Like, how do I tell people, like, how do I spin a better story?
If anyone is listening that's working in PR, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
You learn how to make Chime. You have a name now. You have an identity. And your first event, I read too, was at Javits Center, I think? Was it like a trade show that you went to?
Yes, a coffee show.
A coffee show. Mm-hmm. Cool. Prior to that, did you have any accounts? Like, how did you build your brand and your audience?
So I had the recipe, and I thought that it was perfect. Then I took it to an incubator.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a shared kitchen space, and I signed up for this trade show. So before the show, I made the first batch, and it was terrible. And I realized, oh, okay, so you can't go from a 1 gallon batch to a 50 gallon batch.
Yeah.
Like, I have some learning to do.
Yeah.
We served the chai. We kind of adjusted it on site a little. We used less milk, but then we just went with it.
Yeah.
And it went pretty well. We picked up 2 local coffee shop accounts because of the trade show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really exciting that I had this idea that there was a need for a local and high quality chai. And I was right, because my first event, I picked up 2 accounts.
Yeah.
So then from there, I just started getting better at making chai. So making batches, bottling it, filling up my backpack, going around to local coffee shops and saying, try this.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning.
Literally, like, the traditional sales method is you just went door to door with a bag of samples and giving them to coffee shops to try.
Yes.
And kind of building your clients like that.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it was energizing at the time. I mean, thinking back on it now, like, I never...
Yeah.
Like, do I want to do that now? No way.
Yeah, what's funny, though, is, like, off air when we were at the coffee shop earlier together... You were telling me about how it's kind of awkward to introduce yourself. But now I want to bring it back to you and say, in the earlier times when you're going door to door, like, how did you first introduce yourself? Were you like, hey, I'm Amy, here are some samples? Like, how was that process?
I had so much excitement.
Yeah.
And I'm still excited now, but what I do now is so different from what I had to do 4 years ago. So I was young too. I was 24.
Wow.
I was 24 and New York was still new to me. And I thought that I was just so enthusiastic about my company. I thought, wow, I launched the company. That was the hardest part.
Yeah.
Which isn't true, obviously. I can tell you now. So it was super fun for me to go into shops and say, here, I made this, try it. And I was pretty good at reading people. So if baristas wanted me to hang around and talk, I would do that. But oftentimes, like, a barista is super busy. So, like, me leaving a business card and a bottle and saying hi and getting a cup of coffee and tipping them was, like, enough of an interaction. And then I would follow up with them a few weeks later and they would remember me. I was also so excited to explore. It's truly how I learned New York City, because before I had that task of sampling out my chai, I knew where I lived and where I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
This task got me to, you know, I would pick a neighborhood and fill up a backpack with samples, and I'd say, okay, today I'm going to Fort Greene, or today I'm going to Chelsea.
That's really cool.
It was fun.
It was almost like, obviously it was for your company and like one way to grow, but it was also personally for you a way to explore New York City like you haven't before.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing, knocking out 2 birds with 1 stone, right? I mean.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So from that to now, I mean, your product is pretty much at a lot of these shops in New York City. You know, we were just literally across the street at this coffee shop, which had Donna Chai as well. So now, like, how does it feel to know that your product is so well known now, as opposed to, you know, 4 years ago?
You know, it's hard. It's we're still very much a startup.
Yeah.
4 years later, we are constantly changing. We're coming out with new products. We're realizing where we need to create strategy and where we need to hire. So it has rapidly, I mean, we've grown very quickly, which is so reassuring and so exciting, but it means that we have to work really quickly. Yeah. So it creates just this whole new set of challenges. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes I need to step back and need to pay more attention to the fact that, like, we are in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So it's good because it means that my gut feeling that I had 4+ years ago when I decided to start Donna Chai, it means that it was a good move.
Yeah. Looking back on it now, like, launching it wasn't the biggest challenge for you. Like,
that was breezy.
Yeah. Compared to maybe what you're going through now, it was a lot easier than you thought. Looking, but hindsight is 2020. In terms of now what you're doing, and recently you just launched a new product line. I would love to hear more about kind of what you came out with.
So when I started the company, I knew that we couldn't just have one product. We couldn't just be a chai concentrate company. So, and now we have a turmeric concentrate. So we have a bigger line of tea concentrates. But even still, I knew that we needed to be something else. Mm. And I kind of thought that the natural evolution would be to include tea, loose leaf tea, bottled iced tea, something like that. But I realized in the past few years of development that the spice side of my business was far more interesting to me than the tea.
Yeah.
So from that, from me playing around with pink peppercorn or turmeric or juniper, I realized that there was an opportunity to showcase the crazy versatility of spices in a way that really hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we developed the concept of spice sodas.
Mm-hmm. And how has the reception been like? Do you think people generally are, it's a positive reception? And have you been happy with the launch so far?
We've been getting great feedback and great, even just with us posting the phrase Donna Spice Sodas or Spice Soda, people are so excited because it's something they've never heard of before.
Different.
Yes, it's super different. The cans are bright. The flavors are inventive. Like, people really just want to try it as soon as possible. And then I think we surprise people when they try it because I would imagine there are a lot of people who hear pink peppercorn lemon spice soda and maybe
it's hard to really imagine what that truly tastes like.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, what's pink peppercorn kind of, right?
Exactly.
are there any benefits to, and what's different from a spice soda as opposed to like a regular soda? Like,
well, that's the thing. Coca-Cola, the flavors are rooted in spices. Spices, herbs, citrus.
Mm.
And same with, you know, Sprite. It's citrus. Root beer is sarsaparilla and cinnamon and ginger. So soda industry is rooted in spices, but not many people are featuring spices. Not many people know that root beer is made from spices. So I wanted to bring spices to the center of attention. And then the other thing that is special is that we're actually using real spices instead of natural flavors or spice extracts. We're truly, you know, importing whole spices, grinding them in-house, slow steeping them in-house, so that we are making food from real food rather than food from
science. That's crazy. And this is a big launch for you because it's the first product line that is different from your concentrate lines.
Yeah.
I mean, from beginning to finish, like how long did this idea to conceive and do R&D for, and obviously get the design? And I mean, tell us a little bit about that process.
It took us, the whole process took us a year and a half.
Yeah.
When I had the idea, it was a little too early on. The idea happened when we were developing our turmeric concentrate, and I wanted our turmeric concentrate to be distinct from our masala chai.
Yeah.
So we brought in, I call them more tropical flavors. So lemongrass, ginger, allspice, pink peppercorn. And pink peppercorn is such a wild ingredient that when we cupped it, I realized, like, oh my God, this is crazy. Why aren't more people doing things with pink peppercorn? It tastes, I always describe it, like it smells exactly like Skittles.
Yeah.
And it has this super fruity, somewhat musky.
That's crazy.
Smoky flavors. Like this would be delicious with lemon. Let's make a soda.
Yeah.
So then after that, there was a lot of development, a lot of waiting.
Yeah. So when it comes to creating a flavor, it seems like you pick on one ingredient that you really like and want to showcase, and then you kind of thought about what would go along with it. Is that kind of the thought process with some of the ones you have right now, like the spice sodas?
Yes. So the pink peppercorn lemon is just pink peppercorn with the lemon. But then after that, we wanted to do something with turmeric because it also is a really special ingredient.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right. We said, okay, let's do a turmeric soda. What do we want to put with turmeric? So we blended that one with honeybush, which is it's a relative to rooibos. So
yeah.
It's a red tea from Africa, and it's called honeybush because it has an aroma and a flavor similar to honey.
Yeah.
And that has orange peel and black pepper.
Wow.
And then our juniper is complemented by chamomile, elderflower, and lime.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, and that one's like the elderflower and chamomile should always go with juniper.
What defines hospitality for you? Like, what do you think hospitality means?
It's a hard one. Because I feel like now the word hospitality just is like a business term, if you know what I mean. Like it's an industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never thought about until now, I've never really thought about what it means. I was like tempted to even Google the definition of hospitality. And my guess is that it means taking care of people.
Yeah. I think, though, that as you transition from being a startup to something that is more systematic and system driven as a company, I would actually argue that maybe hospitality is something that you are beginning to think more about in terms of like you wanting to grow out the company and hiring more employees. And in a sense, like I think you as a business owner would have to start taking care of them so they can take care of Donna Chai as a product, as a company too. Like, do you think that'd be a fair argument to make?
Yes, so hospitality within my company.
Yeah.
And then there's also the side of like hospitality for our customers. Like how do we want our customers to feel, or how do we want them to be taken care of when they come to our website?
Right.
Or when they email us.
Right.
Or things like that. Or how do we want to convey our hospitality in terms of like sending out a package or giving someone literature about our company.
Because it's twofold for me in terms of Donna Chai and how you can receive the product, right? It's through your e-commerce, directly through the website. And then from there, it starts, I think, from the website. Like, how does it look? How does it feel? Is it an easy transaction? Does it feel more conversational and more of an experience-driven website as opposed to, like, literally a transaction? And then the package itself, like, how does that feel? And then the second point I think that's important too is a lot of people I think get introduced to your product through coffee shops, right? Because that's generally where they'll maybe try out chai for the first time or whatever. But I think it's also very important in terms of hospitality, maybe education might be in that too, because a lot of what you're doing, no one really knows what masala chai is or turmeric. These are maybe words that they hear, but I think education will be a big part of what you do, right? Just to educate customers about like what pink peppercorn is and this and this and that. Like, would you agree?
Yes, and that's actually what we're working on. One of the things I'm working on right now is creating an education guide and an education program. And we have begun to do spice cuppings for...
Kind of based off coffee cuppings?
Exactly, that's based off coffee cuppings. So we had our first one at Counterculture at the training center.
Yeah.
And then we had Stumptown come out to our space and we did a spice cupping. And the reaction to that was super positive.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know what cardamom tastes like. Like, I can detect it now in anything because it's cardamom is my life. It's not common knowledge. And I forgot, like, the first time when I was developing the recipes and I used to cut spices individually so I could understand how they would interact with other spices, I forgot how cool it was the first time I tasted that. So it's really important that we create some way of educating people.
Spice cupping, like, tell me more about it. Like, how does that work? Do you steep the spices in hot water as you would with like coffee grounds or?
Yes, exactly. So we're making it up, right? So the spice industry is super tiny, so it's way behind the coffee industry. So there's no standard for tasting spices, really. So we found how we do it is we have these mini French presses. So it's different from coffee. Mm-hmm. Coffee grounds, I think, float, and then you move the grounds to the side and you cup right from the bowl. But that's not the case with spices. So the French presses are ideal so that we can strain them. Then we pour them into bowls and we'll taste with spoons or cups or whatever. But this opportunity to do spice cupping is allowing us the opportunity to do more research on spices. So we're going to start focusing on one spice a week, and so let's say it's cinnamon. I know that we brew at a certain temp and at a certain time, but I don't know for cupping or for brewing, like, is it, you know, ideal to cup cinnamon, to steep cinnamon at 205 degrees or 195 or 212 or something like that. I don't know, like, the water temp and I don't know the time. So I'm really excited about this project because this is what I'm interested in, like, the experiments we can do with food.
Yeah, that's awesome because I think that's also something someone could do at home, right? If they want to do their own spice cupping at home. And I think that will allow people to become more knowledgeable. I mean, maybe even appreciate your products more. Be like, wow, there's a lot of work that goes into this, not just like picking out random, you know, ingredients and like mixing it up all together. Why are you so passionate about your company and like Donna Chai and like spices?
My favorite part about having the company is how creative it is. I mean, aside from like, I guess it's the same thought. Like, this is something I created just because I had an idea. And now for 4 years later, we have a real product that people are paying for. We have a team of 10 people. We have recognition. And it's really crazy to me that this all just came from an idea and that on a daily basis I get to be creative. Not just in the way that I created a product or create an Instagram post. It's also in the way that like we have to creatively think about how we want to build our team or how we want to make decisions or how, you know, how do we want to build structure. So like how creative every step of the way would be, and that's really what I like.
I use an iPad for pretty much everything from editing and recording this podcast to staying on top of news and current trends. The one app that I use actually that's helpful for me at least is Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's story so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. You can choose from thousands of topics to personalize your Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. Now, when you see these stories, you can just tap the plus button to add them to a private or public collection, and it's very simple. And you can get started now at flipboard.com. I want to take the time to thank Amy for coming into the studio to talk about her beginnings and about Donna Chai, and also for her hospitality in letting me visit her at the Donna Chai facility. Of course, Anchor for lending us their podcast lab today. And next week, we'll be sitting down with Caroline Weaver, who is the founder of CW Pencil Enterprise on the Lower East Side.